So we would like to dedicate this song to our two friends, Ihan and Gia, who will be leaving us this week to go back to their countries for the summer. And you guys have been such a blessing to us. We thank you for coming and being our friends, so we can't wait to see you next year.
All right.
Now, Gia and Ihan, will you please join us up on stage so we can pray over you guys? Yeah, come on over. Meet us over there. It's too tight over here.
My Velcro stuck.
Come on, Bob.
Bob's got to put his shoes on.
Takes a while to do the Velcro, you know?
Well, they don't know what they're ready for.
All right. Father God, we just thank you for the blessing that Ihan and Gia have brought to us in this church and this church family. Lord, we just pray for their safety as they travel back to their homeland. And Lord, we ask for your blessing on their lives and on their families as they visit this summer. And that you bring them back to us safely at the end of the summer, and we look forward to time with them again. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Our scripture reading is from the Epistle of Galatians. You can find that on page 1806 if you're using a pew Bible. I'll be reading from chapter 1. Verses 1 through 12. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
Join me this morning.
Just got one.
Yeah, I know. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I only heard Pastor Sonny and maybe a couple out there. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
There we go. What? Thank you. I found something really awesome for me in my room this morning while I was searching for clothing. I found a dollar. Not yet, it's not. And what do you guys think I can buy with this dollar? Okay, you guys are too smart for me. Yes, this is a fake dollar. This is a Monopoly dollar. I also have this real dollar. And what can I buy with this one? What kind of things? Huh? Candy? I could eat a whole bunch of candy. Not too much with this dollar, but... Or what else could I buy? A Lego? Chapstick? Something that's worth $1. These kids are... Just full of great answers today.
Great wisdom. Great wisdom in that.
Can you buy a cricket?
I don't know if I want a cricket. I don't know if you... Can you buy... You can probably buy a cricket somewhere, I'm sure.
Go buy one.
All right, well, I brought in this fake dollar and this real dollar to kind of show you guys what our scripture lesson is about today. You see, Paul was talking to or sending a letter to a church that he had presented the true gospel to, and that's our real dollar. And that dollar is worth, well, that gospel is worth almost infinite amount. It's a priceless thing. What's that? I don't need to buy a girlfriend. Anyway, back to our gospel lesson after that note. And so, Paul presented the true gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which represents our real dollar. And that is truly worth something to each and every one of us. But he said that there were people coming back and they were giving them a fake gospel. Something that didn't, it looked like it might be a true gospel like this. If you don't really know what, especially our U.S. dollars look like, you could maybe think that this is a dollar and you could use this to go out and buy something. But it's really worth absolutely nothing. And so that's what the gospel that other people were trying to tell the people in Galatia about is like. Paul says that it's not really a gospel at all. It sounds like good news and it looks like good news, but it is truly nothing. And Paul wants us to remember to always look for the things that he truly taught us, that to try to match it with the original dollar that we have, to try to match it against the original gospel that he taught to the church. And so we're going to pray and thank God for Paul's teaching and for the teaching of the other scripture in the Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and that we know that it is true, and it is the greatest news that we could ever have. And we pray, Lord, that as we hear other things around the world today, whether it be through our friends or in the news, that we can remember what your true gospel really is, and that we can test it against the story that we know to be true, Lord, because you have handed it down directly to us. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Since we have had international students in our home, John and I, yeah, you guys are just the victims this week. What can I say? John and I have become very aware of how we speak. Sometimes we think of we have said things that are very understandable to the American ear. But when said to someone who is not indigenous to this country, it sounds really odd. If I said to you, I'm going to go make the bed, what would that mean to you? Yeah, I'm going to put sheets on there. If I were to say to you, hold up a minute, I need to catch my breath, what would that mean to you? Yeah, that's right. Well, it's pretty clear to us, right? Well, to the international ear, that is not so clear. Now, I asked both John and the girls for other examples, and this week they said that there were so many examples that they just couldn't remember. But I got a call this morning, I thought of something, and that is, some of the youth are going bowling after worship this morning, and Jacob and Kim are taking the girls bowling, and John said to Ehan, I suppose, have you ever been bowling? And she went, oh, no, Pop, oh, no. And he was like, what do you think I said? She thought he asked if she had ever been balding, whether she was losing her hair, which would be a terrible thing to an Asian. Well, anyway, you know, we cleared that up. But there are so many. It's so, one of those deals where there's just so many examples. We should really write them down. I don't know what we laughed at before the girls came and lived with us, quite honestly. Culturally, we hear things in a certain way. And to understand what we're trying to say, many times you need to understand our culture. The same is true for Scripture. If someone said to you, I got a Dear John letter, what would that mean to you? Well, that's pretty clear to us, right? A Dear John letter has a specific purpose, doesn't it? It wouldn't begin with flowery words of encouragement. It wouldn't be a love letter. It would be brief. It would be to the point. It would make clear that a relationship is over. Period, the end. In our culture, we compose letters in a certain way. They have a traditional beginning, they have a clear middle, and they have a clear end, and then we sign our name at the bottom. In the ancient world, it was no different. Letters had a certain form. But instead of opening a letter with our traditional greeting of who we are writing to, in ancient times, letters opened with the name and a brief description of the one who was writing the letter. It was then followed by a greeting to the recipient. And it was then followed by some kind of prayer or blessing for their good, and then usually a few words to thank them. And after the main part of the letter, there would be some words of goodbye, and usually some kind of additional greetings to other people, kind of like, tell John I said hi. That, in a nutshell, meaning briefly, was how every letter was written in ancient times and in Scripture. In that culture. And we can prove it through Scripture. For example, when Paul wrote his letter to the Romans, he began with his own name, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, followed by the recipients of the letter, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints. Then he followed that with a prayer for their good, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, followed by words of thanks. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Now that was just Romans 1:1-8. This is the letter form that appears again and again in most of the letters of the New Testament. So it's not surprising in our scripture lesson for this morning from Galatians 1 that it would follow the same form. The letter begins with Paul, an apostle. It is addressed to the churches in Galatia. It includes Paul's traditional prayer for their well-being. He also used it elsewhere. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead of the expected words of thanks, Paul goes directly into his purposes for the letter. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Hold on. Okay, that's not following the form. No thanks? You have to wonder, what is going on here? In the entire letter to this church and to the church in Galatia, there are no words of thanks. What made Paul change the very ordered way in which every person, including himself, wrote letters in that culture? Could it be that Paul was really bent out of shape about something? Could it be that he really had this chip on his shoulder from the start? Could it be that he had an axe to grind? Bent out of shape? Chip on his shoulder? Axe to grind? In other words, he was angry. In his opening words identifying himself, he made sure that he had established his authority, coming directly from God, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So do not mess with me. That's what he was saying. He is careful to remind his readers that he does not rely on them or anyone else. And so they don't forget it. He just repeats it at the end of our lesson for this morning, at the beginning and at the end. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So you need to pay attention. Not only that, Paul addresses himself very bluntly to the churches of Galatia. That's it. No other explanation. They are not beloved. They are not the saints, as he describes the church in Rome. He does not refer to them as the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, as he describes the church in Colossae. This church is like, this letter is like a Dear John letter. Blunt, to the point. The only difference is that he doesn't want to end his relationship with them, even though he is furious. Instead, Paul's writing to reprimand them. And he wants to pronounce a curse on anyone who is trying to lead them astray with false teaching. We don't think so much about curses today, but they are real, and they are pronounced. Paul's concern for them can be summed up in one word. It's the gospel. In English, the English translation of our text today, the word gospel appears 6 times. Verse 6, it's a different gospel. Verse 7, no gospel at all, in contrast to the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, a gospel other than the one I preached to you. Verse 9, a gospel other than the one you accepted. Finally, in verse 11, the gospel I preached is not of human origin. Paul is so miffed that in his different expressions, he is piling one explanation on top of another about the gospel, with the end result being our understanding of just the gravity of this transgression. Is the gospel really so complicated? You know, the word gospel, we all know what it means. It's good news. It's summarized in our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's good news. That God offers us grace and peace, and that Jesus has set us free, is that not so cool? There are days when that's just the word I need to hear. Now, it's the heart of the gospel. It's what lies at the heart of what Paul's concern is. It's at the heart of his worry for the Galatian church. And that's what he is meaning by the gospel of Christ, the gospel that I preach, the true gospel, the foundational gospel, the gospel 101. For Paul, he explains God's grace in action as the gospel. He often wrote the words grace in his letters, but it was much more than just a standard opening line for him. Grace, you see, was God's undeserved favor, and it had totally changed Paul's life. And he wanted to make for sure that everyone knew that it could totally change their lives too, and that the gospel was for everyone. Now, we have all seen this illustration, but it bears repeating, and it's this $20 bill. Now, we have seen this illustration, but I want to use it as an illustration of kind of grace. You know, I can crumple up this $20 bill. I can step on it. I can get it dirty. I can even tear it up into little pieces. But it is still going to be worth $20. Because it's worth something. And you just don't throw away something that is worth something because it gets beaten up. Well, that's grace. God didn't throw Paul away. He didn't throw the Galatians away. And God doesn't throw us away just because we get a little beat up and we lose our way. Instead, God offers us grace and peace and sets us free in Jesus Christ. And that is a word, by golly, we need to hear. Now, in the case of the Galatians, the people were in danger of deserting the gospel of Christ for something else. Paul says it was like a different gospel. It was another gospel. It was even contrary to the gospel, he said. They had received the good news of God's grace and freedom. Like, they had received that. But instead of continuing to rely on God's grace, they were kind of turning it into something else. It was becoming God's grace and circumcision. Or it was becoming God's grace and the law. Or it was becoming God's grace and their good works. Paul was so mad at them, he could hardly control himself. And he couldn't give his usual words of thanks at the beginning of the letter, and he couldn't even get there later. Instead, he just jumped directly into what he saw as an emergency. Now, fast forward to our own day and age. Today, the heart of the gospel is still God's grace in Jesus Christ and the new freedom that we have in him. Freedom from our past. Freedom from caring what other people think. Freedom from our own unrealistic expectations. Freedom from worry. Freedom from anxiety. Freedom from all of those things that would keep us awake at night. Freedom from the sins that keep us in bondage. They are all, that freedom is still ours. But today, we still have this same tendency, just like the Galatians did, to make God's good news into something else. Now, circumcision is no longer something that most of us talk about like they did in the Galatian church, unless you're on a float trip up country. Yeah. But anyway, the distortions of the gospel that we face are different than that. I mean, that's not a problem for us anymore. But they are distortions just the same. Now, for some of us, it might be God's grace and going to a certain church. For some of us, it could be God's grace and making a living. In some parts of the Christian church, it could be God's grace and the government. In other parts of the country, it could be God's grace and protesting the government. It might be God's grace and good works. It might be God's grace and the environment. It might be God's grace and essential oils. What is that? It might be God's grace and organic foods. It might be just God's grace and whatever your own pet project might be. But is the gospel so complicated even today? You know, Paul wrote to the Galatian church to bring them back to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Not the gospel plus anything else. They were not to be confused by any other teaching. They were not to seek approval of other people by adding anything else. And he used all the apostolic authority that he could muster to convince them in his letter. And in the same way, this text of Scripture challenges us and calls us back to the heart of the gospel. We are saved by God's grace. That's the gospel. 101. We are set free by the work of Jesus Christ. Period. The end. That is the gospel. There are tons and tons and tons of good works to be done in this world. And there are many urgent needs. And there are many emergency situations that we are called to help with. But they are not the center of our faith. And they cannot save us. They are not the heart of the gospel. Instead, all of the good works and the urgent concerns that we might be tempted to add to the gospel are in reality just outreaches of the gospel. Now, for sure, they are an essential part of the way we respond to God's grace and freedom. And for those of us who are living in a state of grace, we cannot help but be moved to do some of those things. But that is not the same as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's own life was an example. Once he persecuted the church, but soon after God zapped him and got his attention on the road to Damascus, he became this tireless evangelist and church planner. During his ministry, he was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was stoned, he experienced shipwrecks, he had other trials going on, but he was never confused. He knew that it wasn't his own experiences that somehow were erasing his past life. He didn't think that all of those things were somehow giving him brownie points with God. It was not for him, he knew it was not God's grace and evangelism. It was not God's grace and church planting. It was God's grace that saved him. And it gave him a new life. And it gave him a new ministry. The words of the well-known hymn, Amazing Grace, you know, they were written by John Newton. We know how this goes. He was a former slave trader. He later became an ordained minister. He wrote over 200 hymns. Leaving the slave trade did not save John Newton. Writing hymns did not save John Newton. Becoming an ordained minister did not save him. All of those things happened because he got saved. All of those good things happened because of God's grace that came into John Newton's life first. For John Newton, it was not God's grace and anything else. He got that. It was amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I used to say worm. I kind of like worm better. Now, we may not all experience world-changing conversions like Paul or like John Newton. But God's grace and the uncomplicated gospel of Jesus Christ are still the heart of our faith. And when that grace comes into our hearts, it changes our worlds. And by golly, it shows. You know, at times, I get it, you know, we're human beings. At times, we are tempted to add to it. And as if, you know, God's grace is not enough. At times, we may be tempted to take it for granted. And we get way too preoccupied with ourselves. Or we become preoccupied with other things. And all of a sudden, we're just not paying any attention anymore. But our lesson for today challenges us to take hold again of God's grace in Jesus Christ and to live in that place of freedom. Paul was so angry that he was not able to include a word of thanks in his letter to the Galatians. And that was a pretty noteworthy deviation from the accepted letter writing forms of the day. And it punctuated the seriousness of the issue. It punctuated the seriousness of that situation in the Galatian church. So today, let's just take the opportunity to kind of write a word of thanks with the way we're living our own lives. Because that's really all that's left to do, is to live out the thanks, because God's already done it. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we give you thanks for your will and work in our lives. And when we start to act as if your grace is not enough, we pray that you would bring us back to the heart of the true gospel. And when we are distracted and busy with so many things, we pray that you would remind us again of your amazing grace and help us to rest in your arms. We just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you for what you've done for us. Amen.